We'd like to talk a little bit this morning about the flesh. And we want to start reading in Romans, the 8th chapter. It talks a lot about the flesh. In fact, Romans, the whole book of Romans, talks a lot about the flesh and how we're to conquer the flesh. How important it is to us. We want to start reading Romans 8 at the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I was thinking in these first few verses how that the Lord lets us know that the weakness of the law in the Old Testament was that it could not change the flesh. That in the Old Testament and in the law, that many times what would happen is people would be very sorrowful and remorseful for their actions and for their sins, and they would atone for them through sacrifices and all, but nothing could atone for the inside, for the soul. Nothing could clean the spirit of man. Nothing could clean up his heart and his mind and the way that he did things. And so that was the weakness in the law. That was the weakness of the law. But the law was instituted just as a schoolmaster, just to teach us what was wrong and what was right and how we were to behave. It didn't have the power to change things. But then Christ coming in the flesh is what gave us the power to actually change and live free from sin and be able to obtain eternal life. On the fourth verse it says, "The righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And we know that when we're unsaved, that we walk after the flesh. And what happens is that we, from the time we're small children, we grow up and we learn to use our flesh. We learn how to, we learn ways of thinking, ways of dealing with problems, ways of escaping, ways of pointing the finger at someone else. We learn all these things in order for us to survive, so to speak, and think pretty well of ourselves as we go through life. It's very important to the human being that they feel good about themselves, that they feel like that they're worth something, that they're important to somebody. And that's one of the driving forces of the flesh, is to make people strive to please other people, strive to please and obtain offices and positions in life where they're greatly esteemed. Yeah. It's one of the weaknesses of the flesh. But when Christ came, he allowed us to be cleansed. In other words, those very ways that we grew up, the things that we did when we were young, the ways, that we learned to manipulate, the ways we learned to protect ourselves and to esteem ourselves pretty highly, those kind of ways, many things that we're not even aware of, Christ died to be able to change those things. Yeah. The only way that we are able to allow him to change those things is to become aware of them ourselves. We have to be able to understand and see the weaknesses in our own flesh. And that's one of the hardest things and the hardest job that we will have just about in this life, is to fight the enemy and of our souls that deals with self within. You see, the enemy has always used self against you. Self was the way that self-manifests and the way we do things is the way the enemy has been able to come through our lives and use those things about us in ourself, in our pride, in our dispositions, and the way that we've used things to build ourselves up so that we felt like we were important. Those things are the things that the enemy comes in and uses in our lives. He uses those things against us. And the faster that we are able to see those things and get them out of our lives, then the less the enemy has to use. Now, the flesh is still there after we're saved. The flesh is still there after we're sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. The flesh will be with us until we leave this world. The flesh is something to contend with on a daily basis throughout our salvation. We never get to the place to where we no longer have it to contend with. There will always be little places. As we grow in the Lord, they will become less and less frequent. Maybe the transgressions will become less and less severe. But there are going to be places in our life, as we go through life, where God will reveal another place in our personality, another place in our makeup that needs cleansing, that needs His blood applied to it so that we can be free of that aspect that the devil has been using against us also. So it's real important that we understand that the flesh is with us. We can be saved. We can be sanctified. The flesh is there. The devil's going to take every opportunity. Things are going to come up in our lives. And the enemy is going to try to use your flesh against you. And what will happen is many times we'll see something about ourselves. Maybe we'll see that we have, an attitude problem, something like that. And we realize that whenever this certain situation happens, it affects us. And we get some kind of an attitude about it. Now, it can be an attitude of all kinds of attitudes, a self-pity attitude. It can be a righteous attitude. It can be a disposition to revenge. It can be a revengeful attitude. It can be a pouty attitude. It can be, there's many, many ways that we've grown up using things to protect ourselves. These are all self-protecting. You notice I use the word self. Self-protecting mechanisms. That's what these all are. And what we're doing when we get saved is we're trying to eliminate all of our self-protecting, turning everything over to God and letting God protect us and take care of us and show us how to live. Because when He does it, it's totally righteous and there's no self-motivation in it. If you've ever looked in a dictionary, and I did that, you look in a real big dictionary, there are pages and pages and pages of words that start with self. Pages of them. You could not probably remember them all. There are so many. And some of them, as I was reading through these different ones, you know, you just read page after page and you realize how big self is. How big. You start getting the magnitude of how all-encompassing it is in our life. It's, so to speak, before we get saved, it is our motivating force for everything. We don't move in our life before we're saved. We never make a move, but what it is somehow related to help self do something. And so, if we can get the magnitude of self in our life, how big it is, how it's the all-encompassing force that causes us to move and motivate and protect and do and be and all these things. If we can get the magnitude of it, then we can see why it is when we get saved that we just don't get rid of it. Because essentially it is us. Everything that is about you, that's what we're talking about. There are people that have a disposition to be shy. Well, why is that? Is it because they were just made that way? No. What happened was, is no doubt they've grown up in a family that somewhere along the way, it became self-preserving to be quiet. It became self-preserving to be shy and not seen and out of the way. Maybe they said some things and they were made fun of quite often, and so they learned that the best way not to experience those painful things was to be quiet, to be shy. You see? Now, shyness in itself is not sinful, but it is related to self. Self has taken this attitude, taken on itself this attitude of shyness as a protective mechanism from hurts and from, so to speak, for pride. Many times a shy person is a very proud person. They don't want to be thrown out into the open to where people can see what they really are or see what they're really like. They want to be sure they never say the wrong thing. They've seen so many people make maybe a public spectacle of themselves, and they see that, you know, well, if I just don't ever say anything, no one will ever know. And it becomes a self-protecting motivation. And anything that is to protect self is wrong, because self must be exposed to be cleansed. Must be exposed to be cleansed. So as we go through life, there are things that all of us here in this room, things about us this very day, that are we're still using as a self-protecting, a self-motivating, a self, oh, the list goes on and on and on. Only God can speak to you and let you know where it has taken root in you, where your biggest problems are with self. And I want you to know that the Lord's going to work on those big problems, but He's going to work on those little ones too that you don't have any idea are there. You don't have any, you know, we all get a, when we get saved, we get a beginning understanding of ourselves. We see something pretty important about ourselves. We may see a great weakness. But I want you to know that usually those first weaknesses we see, those are not the ones that are going to keep us out of heaven. Those very first ones we see, the ones that are going to keep us out are the ones that we've had no idea we had. That we have not even understood that we were like that at all. Something that we have seen in others and never envisioned it was in ourselves. Those are the things that will actually trip us up in our salvation walk. Because once we have our eyes open to a weakness in ourselves, we're constantly aware of it. It's easy for the Lord to be able to come in and speak to us and tell us that, well, there's that. There it is again. There it is. You know, do something about it. There it is. And He'll be able to point it out every time. But it's those ones that we don't know about. Those ones that have not been exposed to the fullest yet that can have the most devastating effect on us. And how sometimes there are many, many times that a person will go along the way for quite a while and be saved and sanctified and doing well in their soul. And what happens is that they hit up against something they never knew was there. It's not something they've always had, so to speak, that they've known that they've been working on, but something they didn't know was there. It becomes so big and monstrous to them. And it strikes such a blow to the pride and the self-esteem of the individual when it comes, that it causes them to rethink everything. It causes them to rethink their salvation, rethink everything. And there are many, many people that at that point in their life do not seek the Lord for what they need to carry on over the top of this thing too. Just like you've been looking at all these other things you knew about yourself. You've been looking at them right along. But because you've been working at them, you feel like, well, the Lord is helping me. And you see steps and advancements. And you see how you don't see it as often as you used to see it and all these things. But still, it's those things that we don't know about ourselves that'll catch us in the end. So it's so important to allow the Lord to expose things in us. And He has a way of doing it. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly convinced that the Lord always wants to choose the route to where He can expose something about you to you first alone. He wants to expose it to just you. He doesn't want to cause us embarrassment. He doesn't want to cause us a problem as far as being able to have confidence in front of anybody. He doesn't want to do those things to it. It's not His will. There's a scripture in the Bible that He says He does not willingly afflict. Amen. It's not His will that He allow these things to come in our life. But if we ignore the personal dealings that God deals with us on a daily basis, or if we neglect our reading to where He can deal with us, or we neglect our prayer where He can deal with us on a daily basis, eventually that thing is going to be exposed publicly. When it's exposed publicly, it's much harder to deal with. Why? Because self now has really been put on the spot. Yeah. And self is our enemy, has been all along, and when it's exposed publicly, then it really hits self. Yeah. It's so important that we learn to deal with these things on a personal level with God from a day-to-day basis. Don't allow your mind to sugarcoat and gloss over things that come up from a day-to-day basis. That's the main way that God deals with us. He does not choose a camp meeting to send a particular message from a particular minister that is supposed to cure your ills. What He does is He deals with you on little things, little items, little words, little relationships, friendships, family, the saints, and He chooses these things on a daily basis to deal with you on a daily basis in your life to prepare you so that when you do go to a camp meeting and there's that particular message that comes and there's that particular minister and what that does is it just cements what the Lord has been telling you all along and hopefully what you've been listening to. God does not willingly afflict. He does not willingly bring things your way. But God is a faithful God, and He will bring whatever it takes to show us ourselves so that we can escape eternal damnation. He will do that for us. He loves us with that kind of love. We don't always have sometimes that same kind of love for others. In other words, there are times that we may not say a word that should have been said, or we may say some words that shouldn't have been said. You know what I'm saying? We may get out of line. We may do something. We don't have the kind of eternal love that God has, where He never makes a mistake. He never says a word out of turn. He never says too much to us at one time. He never sends anything to correct us that we're not ready for. He never sends anything to us that He hasn't already been slightly prodding as we go along. He never sends anything to us that He hasn't already looked it over, and knowing our disposition, knowing how self works in our individual life, knowing everything about us, He sees that no matter that thing is coming into our life, it will not knock us out of the race. It won't. But people allow them to. But God already knows that it shouldn't have. He knows that that person, if they'd have humbled their heart, it wouldn't have. But self. Self gets in the way. And self gets lifted up. And they begin to question and everything. And you've seen people go out from among us that it looked like that they were solid and secure and established. But they hit some things. They hit some things that maybe they never thought they'd hit. Or they saw some things about themselves that they never knew were there. And instead of humbling their heart and turning their eyes inward and saying, Lord, where is it? What's the matter? What's happening? They have a tendency to look around and point and say, so-and-so or so-and-so or this happened or they didn't treat me right or they didn't do this or they didn't show me love. Or I felt like I was all alone. There's all number of excuses for covering up self, what's really inside and what we should be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Now, as we go on in this chapter, on the 9th verse, it says, but ye are not in the flesh. After we're saved, after we're sanctified, and the Spirit is living within, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of you. He is none of his. All right, we have two different spirits here. That's what it looks like. It's talking about the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, we know what that Spirit is. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit that comes and dwells inside of us and gives us the power. Not only does it cleanse the carnal nature out, but it gives you power to fight yourself that the carnal nature has taught you how to be. The self that you are, that the carnal nature taught you how to be, is still there. The self that you are, that the carnal nature taught you how to be, is still there. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is living within. The carnal nature is no longer there. It cannot teach you how to do anything else. You see? It can't teach you how to do anything else. Now you are only dealing with what you learned and how self learned to operate up to this point. All right, now, you read on, and it says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, what's the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of Christ is not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ are the actions, attributes, and all that Christ manifested to us here on earth when he was here, the Spirit of Christ. It is the attitudes, the inner workings of the being of God. It is what God is. The Spirit of Christ showed us what God is. He lived it here. That's the Spirit of Christ. Now, some people want to take some of the Spirit of Christ, but they don't want it all. Now, there are some people that say the Spirit of Christ, when he was here on the earth and he operated, and it said he answered not a word. Okay? And they can take that out and say, well, that's what I am. You know, I answer not a word. When things are going wrong and this and that, I just step back. I let everybody else handle it. I don't get involved. I'm this, I'm that. You know, I answer not a word, just like Christ did. But that wasn't the Spirit that motivated him to do that. The Spirit of Christ and what was motivating here, it was not to protect himself that he did that. It was not to protect him. He had no inner motivation, say, well, I'm not going to answer them because they're just trying to make a fool out of me. No, that wasn't it. He knew that to answer them was a waste of time. He knew that to answer them was to promote more of their foolish questions and more of their talk of their doctrines and all. And he knew that they already knew in their hearts what they were doing was wrong. And that's why he answered them not a word. Now, someone else may take something and say, well, that when he took the cords and he cleared the temple. Now, they're one of those people that they like to get in there and really do something. If there's anything to get in on, they want to be in on it. And they want to be the one to hold the cords. You know what I'm saying? It's their spirit. That's their individual spirit. And they'll take something from the Spirit of Christ that his was not self-motivating. He was not angry at the people. He was angry. What he was angry at were the teachings that had become so corrupt that the people were buying and selling in the house of God. That was what he was upset about. The teachings. It wasn't the people. The people had basically nothing to do with it. Those people that were selling, they were just merchants. They didn't have anything to do with the way the law was being interpreted and with the way the law was being executed and taught to the people. They had nothing to do with it. They were just going about their business. And he did not attack them personally for personal reasons. But what happens is sometimes that's what happens to us. We get pulled into a situation and we start attacking for a personal reason. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to be able to sit back and admit when you're on the defensive or when you're on the attack and you realize that you're doing it at someone else, that really what's really upsetting you is something down inside of you and you're motivating it and pointing it at somebody else. And that is one of the main things that we as Christians are going to have to realize and understand is how to look inward whenever we hit a problem. Whenever we have a problem with anyone, whether it's our family, our children, our husband, our friends, the saints, whenever we have a problem, don't look at someone else. Don't look to see somebody else. Look in yourself. That's where the problem is. God lets it come to you because you have a problem. Now let me explain. Maybe there's somebody, a saint, a good saint, says something to you and it cuts. Instead of admitting, Lord, that really cut me, why did it cut me? And analyze, why did that cut me? Why did that hurt me so bad? Well, usually it cuts because there's some truth to it.
Yeah.
See, lies don't cut. They can make us unhappy. They can make us sad. But they don't cause deep wounds because there's no truth to them, and we know that.
Yeah.
We're disappointed. We have, you know, those kind of feelings. But to cut, something that really wounds you and cuts you, is because there's some truth to it. Now, there may not be all truth to it. You may have to take something that is said to you sometime, and you may have to say, now, Lord, when they said this, this, and this, I know that those first two things they said, I'm guilty. But, Lord, as far as I know, that third thing they said, I'm not guilty. You don't have to admit to everything. But we are required to admit to the things we know we are guilty of. And we know. See, we know. God does not require something of us that we don't know. We know. But self may have had a habit growing up of resisting all corrections. You ever seen a person that's hard to correct? They can't stand any kind of correction whatsoever. It's because they've led a life like that. From the time they were small children, they rebelled against the very correction of their parents. They may not have shown it out, but inward, they rebelled. They would not receive correction. But you show me a child that is willing to admit, I was wrong when they're little, you'll find them admitting they're wrong when they're adults. If you find a child that is not willing to ever admit they're wrong, can't see they're wrong, can't see anything, you'll find them being that same kind of a way as adult. Because see, it's self. That's what self is. It's something that's taught to you. It's taught to you from the time you're a child. You're taught how you are. You teach, so to speak, and because the carnal nature is there, it is the tool through which the devil works to cement those things in your life and really get it down good to where. And there are going to be so many things in our lives that we don't even know we have. But let me give you a hint. Let me give you a hint. If you're in a family gathering and somebody says, oh, you were so-and-so when you were little, and you think, I wasn't like that. And two or three other family members chime in and say, oh, yes, you were. Take a hint. You know what I'm saying? Take a hint. It's going to be the thing that you don't know about yourself. But everybody else saw it when you were growing up. Everybody else saw it. And I'll tell you what, they're still seeing it today. And we can just go on and be as oblivious and protect ourselves and so to speak, hug ourselves and baby ourselves and not look at ourselves and go on saying, it's not me. I'm not like that. And everybody around you just kind of shake their head and say, well, someday the Lord will get it to them. It's important we look at ourselves and take some, so to speak, take some hints. You ever had a minister deal with you at the altar and they say something that is just in your mind so kind of off the wall? Where did that come from? That isn't what I come up here for. I was after so-and-so and they're going to tell me this and it doesn't even look related. Well, take the hint. God's trying to get something to you. God's trying to get something to us. And he doesn't allow people to say things, even our family. Now, I want you to understand this. He does not allow our family to say things to us, but what he can get some good to you out of it. He can get some good to you out of it. They may be hurtful, horrible things, but it's going to teach you something. It'll teach you something. If it doesn't teach you anything more than how to go on loving in the midst of a problem. You see what I'm saying? There's some good attached to everything that the Lord allows to come our way. Everything. And it's to teach us about ourselves. So that all those things that we have learned, all those protective mechanisms we have learned, can be exposed one by one and cleared up and gotten rid of and out of our life. So that by the time we reach the end of our way, the Lord can say to us, you know, that, you know, we fought a good fight. You did well. You fought a good fight. What did we fight against? We didn't fight against the saints. We fought against those things inside of us that made us the people we were. That's what our fight is. That's the thing we have to fight against. Those things that make us the people we are. And when we conquer one of those things, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to know that you have conquered something about yourself that you lived with for so many years that you maybe despaired of ever feeling like you were ever going to get it. But when you conquer it, it feels so good to know that you've done that. But let me give you a little warning. You did. You conquered it. But there's other things attached to it. So you may not be the last time you see it. You understand what I'm saying? You can have a victory over a certain aspect of the way self works in your life, but because it's so interwrapped around other ways that self works inside, you may see it again. Don't be discouraged. Just know that, well, this is attached to something else. Now I'm going to go after what it's hooked to. I'm going to get the thing that it's hooked to.
Yeah.
It's important that we deal inside. Deal with the things inside. 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what this whole first part of this chapter is talking about, is what we've been talking about here this morning. Mortifying the deeds in the body. And it's explained to you exactly why you can expect it to be mortified and the power that has been given you to mortify it and why it didn't work in the Old Testament and why it works today and why we are left with no excuse.
Amen.
To allow anything else to go, why we are left with no excuse. All right, I want to turn to Romans, the 13th chapter. In the 14th verse. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provisions. Do you know that there are people, and in fact we have all been people before we got saved, that made constant provisions for the flesh? Constant. There wasn't a decision that we made throughout the day that did not cater to our flesh in some form when we were in sin. It catered to our flesh. Even those things that we thought were sacrificing, which we called self-sacrificing. Those things. Because in the midst of those sacrifices we made when we were in sin, there was a benefit we expected to reap to ourselves. And we sacrificed for the benefit. Many times what will happen is that maybe there's someone in your family that is having some kind of problems and they need you to, they need you to babysit or to watch their house. Or maybe they're sick and you thought that you would go in and maybe clean the house for them and do up their dishes and things. You didn't go in with a goodness in your heart to help and... Really, now, I'm going to tell you that's what self told you you were doing. Self told you you were going in there to be a real help, and they needed your help, and the poor thing is sick, and they need help with those dishes and those children and everything. But more than likely, what self was doing was gathering up praise to itself. That's what it was doing in those sacrificing times, self-sacrifice. I'm going to gain some praise through this. There's going to be other family members that are going to say, oh, weren't they good to come in and do that? Or do you know that self can be so deceiving You don't even need anybody else to tell you. You will tell yourself. You will tell yourself how good you are for doing this, how sacrificing you were, what you gave up to do it. You will make a list so long that those other family members could never know all those things on that list of why you are so good because you did this. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are things we have done and learned before we were saved. After the carnal nature's out, we can't be taught any of those things anymore. But we have to get rid of the ones we're taught. We have to get rid of those things. So, make not a provision. Every decision that comes to you through the day, you can make in the Spirit of God, or you can make it in the spirit of your own flesh. Every single decision. There may be a phone call that comes to you. Something that you had no idea was coming. And you pick up the phone and you say hello. And they say something, do something, bring a problem to you, make an explanation, want to tell you their latest problem with Sister So-and-so, or their latest problem with Brother So-and-so, or their latest problem at the people at work, or whatever. And you will be faced with decisions right there. You can either, during this phone conversation, cater to your flesh, make provisions for your flesh in this conversation, and make provisions for the other person's flesh in this conversation, or you can deny your own flesh. And in the process of denying your own flesh, you will have denied theirs. And I'll show you how it works. There may be somebody call up, and they may be telling you, oh, Sister so-and-so did so-and-so again, and I'm just having the worst problem, and I'm having this and that, and I don't understand this and that. And we can be so accommodating to the person on the phone, not have any kind of a rebuke, may not have any kind of a thought about, well, now have you considered all sides? What about if so-and-so had happened? Maybe they really didn't mean it like this. Or, you know what I'm saying? We can enter into the conversation in a way to try to heal. Or we can just accept what they're saying, even if we don't believe it. Just accept what they're saying and get right in there with them and say, you know, there was a sister did that to me one time. You know what I'm saying? See, now you're catering to your flesh, because now you're going to tell them all about your story. And they're going to tell you all about their story. And the two of you are going to have this wonderful agreement in the flesh. And only in the flesh. And do you know, once you start those kind of agreements and pacts, do you know how hard they are to break? They're hard to break. You can start those kind of agreements and pacts, and in the first, see, this is the thing. We don't realize these things about ourselves. But what will happen, this happened to me one time, and that's why I can speak about it. You start just kind of going along with that person, and that person tells you this problem and that problem, and you kind of start relaying yours, and pretty soon you've got this tight pact of, listen, I won't tell you about yourself, and you don't tell me. And now that's how it ends up. And then all of a sudden, one day, and this is what happened to me, one day the Lord is going to allow a situation to come up to where you are stuck. And you are going to have to say something now. And it's going to be in a more than just that person's company. And that person is, so to speak, going to be a little bit exposed when you say it. And you realize this pact has got to be broken. And I'm right here at the edge now. This is the place to break it. And you're going to have to say something in front of that person. Go directly. That person may have been carrying on a conversation with somebody and wanting you at the end of this conversation to join in and say yes. And you knew you couldn't do anything but say no. But because you've been being the yes person all along, this person has come to depend on you to support them in all their beliefs. And all of a sudden, there you are, stuck right up there. And they're expecting, they turn to you with this expectant look on their face, and they say, isn't that right? And there you are. There you are. And to be honest, you know, to be honest before God and man and that person and the other person involved, you know you have to say, no, I don't see it like that. And then you know what you're going to face. You're going to face some things. But you're going to face them because you've been letting self have its way all this time. There's no need of you getting upset now. Don't get upset when things are exposed about you. You didn't get into this. I mean, this didn't happen out of the clear blue. You got yourself in here. And God's given you a way out. It isn't always the most pleasant. In fact, it most likely will be the most unpleasant to get out. But we can do it. And we can break those allegiances and those pacts that we have that have been detrimental to ourselves and to somebody else's self, their image. We can break those things and we can be a blessing. But you're going to suffer some things to do it. Now, that person may not want to be your confidant anymore, which is probably a good thing. Or they may want to drag you more and more. They may feel like now it's their life's duty to convince you. They may feel like that they need to now help you. You've gotten off. You see what I'm saying? You're going to face some things. But just look inward. Look inward. In my case, what I had to do is I had been going along with this person. I had been going along with this person because they went along with me. It wasn't an easy thing to say. It wasn't an easy thing to admit. It was really hard. But now I can talk about it. It's not so hard to talk about it now. But then it was one of the hardest things I had ever had to go through. To actually admit that the reason I had been backing this person so much and they had been backing me and we thought we had such an agreement was because we had just been catering to each other's flesh. Yeah. That's a horrible thing. But we can come out of those places. You're going to see things. We're going to see things about ourselves we never thought were there. See, I never used to think that I, catered to people's flesh. I never thought that I actually went along with people, just to stay out of trouble type thing. I never knew that I could do those kind of things. I always thought I was just one of those people. I was one of those people that for a lot of time in my life I was shy. And it was one of those self-protecting mechanisms, where I just got shy because that just kept you out of a lot of trouble. You just stayed out of everything. But in the course of doing that, you also missed a lot of things. You missed a lot of growing and nurturing. And what you do is, you know what a shy person does? They spend a lot of time in their own mind. They spend a lot of time in there. And they maneuver and manipulate and work their minds. They can do things with their minds that you could not believe. They can erase things that were there. And you ask them now, and they won't be able to remember. They can erase them. And they can put things there that never happened. And they will believe them till the day they die, unless the Lord gets a hold of them. Because they spend so much time in here talking to themselves. With that carnal nature to help them believe it all. That's what happens to us as we're growing up. So make no provisions for the flesh. Don't make any place for it to live, for it to be happy, for it to be comfortable. You're doing real well when your flesh is uncomfortable most of the time. You're doing real well. You may not all know maybe how to recognize that yet. How to recognize the difference between feeling comfortable with self and feeling uncomfortable. But you'll get there. The Lord will make sure you get there. And if you can feel uncomfortable with yourself most of the time, you're doing a better job than if you just feel pretty satisfied. You'll be doing a better job because you will be really digging into those inner workings inside of you that causes you to be the person you are. Galatians, the 5th chapter. First verse, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. Liberty. Liberty is a wonderful thing. Stand fast in the liberty. Did you ever get to a place in your experience where you felt so high and you felt so invincible and so powerful in God's hands. You know what I'm saying? Those highs that really set you free. Free to express yourself. Free to tell people about your experiences. I mean, a real freedom, a liberty. And then 3-4 months down the road, all of a sudden you don't have it anymore. You know, you can remember what it felt like. You can remember being there. But right now, you don't have it. Well, let me tell you something. Self took it away. Nobody else did. There isn't an outside person that can take that from you. There isn't a husband that can take it, or a wife, or children, or circumstances, or money problems, business problems, working associate problems, church problems. None of them can touch your liberty. But self can bind you up so tight that you won't know how to get loose. It will steal your liberty. So I want you to know, if you've been through an experience like that. Now, I'm not talking about your average up and downs in life. We all have faced those. You know, one week you feel real good and everything. The next week you're a little sickly and you're a little down. And yeah, I'm not talking about those. Those are just the flow, ebb and flow of life. You know, we all go through those. I'm talking about a real liberty, a place where you knew you had gotten free of some things. And then all of a sudden you're all bound up in those same things again. It's because you catered again. You made provision for the flesh again. And you let your flesh bind up all those things that the Lord had set you free of. Yourself. Now, I can just about guarantee you, you did not do it the old way. You didn't do it the way that you knew not to do anymore. It was another way. It's hooked to it. It's another way you did it. It was not done in the same old way you used to do it that you got victory over. It's a different way. It happened a different way. You catered in a different way. You catered in a little bit different area. There was something you did that was different. It'd be real hard for the devil to come in with you having that kind of a liberty and present one of those old temptations that you just run off on. No. He isn't going to do that. What he did was he just got you to cater your flesh somewhere else. Just cater to it here. You know, I'll leave that part alone. I'll let you have that part. But I want this part. I'm going to show you what this part's got. You know, and the enemy's got some real power over here on this side. You don't know nothing about it yet. But he's going to teach it to you. And that's how you lost it, by catering to yourself. We have to look at ourselves each and every day and look at our lives and say, Lord, what have I done today that could have been done differently? What have I done today that could have been done more for your cause or more for somebody else's comfort minus mine or more for to further God's cause rather than my own? What could I have done different? Was there some words that I shouldn't have said? Or maybe there were some words I should have said. Maybe I was having a conversation with somebody and it came right up to the point where you have that little place where you could speak a few words for the Lord and you kind of, you draw back. What is that? It's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of Christ. It's not the pressure that the person is putting on you. It's not your surroundings. It's yourself saying, I don't want to expose myself here by saying, well, don't you know the Lord can help you? That's going to expose me. See, I'm going to open myself up to ridicule maybe, or somebody saying, you know, well, I don't believe in God, or some of them get really upset and maybe cuss at you, or, you know. So what you did was, you know what you did? You protected yourself and you didn't say a word. Self-preservation. Isn't that a horrible thing? Self is a horrible thing. It is our enemy. It is the thing that the devil works through to defeat us. It is that thing. 13 through 18 of the same chapter, chapter 5 in Galatians, 13 through 18. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The main scriptures I'm after in here are the 13th and the 15th scripture. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And in the 15th, if ye bite and devour one another. You see, a lot of our trials and testings are going to be right in our own families, in fact, most of them, our own families, and in our bigger family, the saints. This is where they're coming from. And our liberty, my liberty, is attached to your liberty.
Yeah.
If we all come in here on Wednesday night to prayer meeting, and you don't have liberty, and this person over here doesn't have liberty, and maybe there's one other one that doesn't have liberty, maybe there's three that came in with great liberty, but when they start to feel the spirit coming from those other people, it affects their liberty. And we all affect one another.
Amen.
When I see you on top of the world this week and down in the dumps the next week, that affects me. That affects me. That doesn't mean that we're not to let the saints know our problems, that we can have prayer for them. But did you ever see somebody that you knew, went through problems and problems and multiples of things and all, and came to service faithful with a smile on their face and never gave in to it? Do you ever know anybody like that? I knew somebody right here in this congregation pretty close. That was Brother James. He went through a lot of things. Things that the rest of us haven't even, I don't know. It just looked like he went through reverse after reverse after reverse after reverse. Yet he was here every service. Except when he was having to work on something to get something going or to help a saint or to, you know, do some kind of help work somewhere. And a smile on his face and a disposition to say, well, it's the Lord's will.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that be nice? If we could all come in here like that, wouldn't that be something? Come in smiling every time. Now, there's more people than just Brother James that's displaying that. But you look around. You've seen them. You've seen them. Maybe you knew something that there was some horrible thing they were going through. And they come to church and they look so good. And you think, how do they do that? How do they do that? Well, they're not catering to their flesh. That's how they're doing it. They're not feeling sorry for themselves. Self-pity. You ought to go to the dictionary and read this list. You would not believe this list of self-words in the dictionary. You can go down that list. It will amaze you at the things that look legal, but it can be done. You put a self in front of it and it becomes illegal. You wouldn't believe it. Pity is good. Having pity on someone, that's good. That's a good attribute to have. But when it's self-pity, it's wrong. Illegal, you can't have it. And all of those self-words, almost all of them, can be good if you leave off the self. But as soon as you put self in front of it, it's completely corrupted, that word. So it's important. It's important that we look inside. Don't use our liberty. Okay? There are some people that will take liberties. They're so free in the Lord themselves, they think they can just come up to you and ask you any old thing. Delve into all of your personal private matters. You know what I'm saying? Take liberties. Take liberties. I'm free. Well, I tell everybody about my things. Why would they want to hide that? You see what I'm saying? Hide. Already you're catering to your flesh because you're using a word that denotes something's wrong, something's shady, something's a little off. Why would they want to hide that? You see? Instead of saying something like, well, I wonder why they don't want to discuss it. Now, why do they want to hide that? You see the difference? One can be catering to the flesh and the other can be just a conversation. Just an innocent question as to why something would be being done or something. Taking liberties. Some people will take the liberty to correct you when God doesn't give it to them. Does that mean you can ignore it? Can you ignore it? If God didn't give them the liberty to correct you, can you ignore their instruction? You better not. You better not. Because if God let it come to you, you can get some good out of it. So you better not. Even if you're convinced. And besides that, maybe a sinner said it and you know they're off. You better listen. Liberty. The liberty we have is free from ourselves. And from ourselves, all the things that would bind us up and cause us to be less than what we can be. That's what we have liberty from. Ourselves. I don't have liberty from you. Ever heard that expression? I've heard that expression. I have my liberty over that person. I have my freedom from them. As if they had any kind of hold over them anyway. They didn't have any hold over you. You just had self in the way, and the way self was operating, it gave them power over you. You get self out of the way, they have no power over you. Liberty. Liberty comes from being free from ourselves. Praise me.